glass. If you have your book with you, we're going to be looking in chapter 9, the manifestation of man's rebellion. Also, if you got your Bibles, which you should, turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter. Let's see where we want to go. 2 Peter 2, verse 10, all the way through verse 12. 2 Peter 2, 10 to 12. We're going to be talking about another phase of rebellion, that rebellion is mostly manifested in three realms here. Notice the three realms that we're going to be talking about. Number one is words, reasons, and thoughts. Now, our instructor, Brother Nee, when he put this class book together, he started off with words, then he went to reason, then he went to thoughts. But, you know, following apostles teaching on the soul, you know, thoughts deal with the soul and reason within the realm of the soulless realm. And we're all dealing with the soulless realm. But if we were to look at this in a chronological order, it would begin with thoughts, because Satan, the first thing he does is inflict a thought. Then a thought turns into reason. And then once reason, and then it's brought out or manifested through words. Now, thoughts, reasons, and words are the three basic means by which we allow rebellion to enter our being, our heart, and our mind. Our whole object of this lesson is to stop the enemy from bringing us to that point of rebellion, where we can be able to, this old cliche, nip it in the bud, class. We want to nip thoughts in the bud, where it won't have a chance to incubate, to get a chance to go into our reason sensory, and then go into another realm of words, where it's we call that words, well, it's expressed in maybe reviling. We're going to look at that word reviling, and we're going to define what it talks about, what it means. So let's begin with the lesson. We're going to begin with this statement here. You can follow in your book close you can. I might deviate a little bit from the book, but I'm going to stay right on track with the lesson here, and so you can follow me more closely. Unless there are practical dealing in these three areas, words, reason, and thoughts, the hope of deliverance from rebellion is very dim. Very dim or almost impossible, class. And so we want to get to the place where in real time, in real life, where we nip it at thoughts and it won't have a chance to incubate and become words. Do you hear me, class? All right. So you say, I'm not rebellious, instructor. No, and we want to keep you that way. We want to keep you that way because you're going to have opportunities to challenge thoughts of rebellion kindred, some kindred thoughts to rebellion, and you have to deal with it. And so we're trying to nip it in the bud. So let's look at, let me define this word rail, because you're going to see this word rail, rail or railing show up quite often in the scripture we're about to read. Railing, a good definition is to complain violently against. To complain violently against. That's strong words that being expressed through railing. And so you're going to see that word come up in some of the scripture that we're about to read. Okay, 2 Peter 2 and 10. It says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise dominion, daring, self-will. You know, we've gone all through those words, self-will. And they tremble not to rail at dignity. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against before the Lord. But these as creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed. Hear that word again. Railing in matters thereof they are ignorant, surely they are destroyed, corruption surely be destroyed. Let me read that again. Let me read that one more time. I'm going to read the whole scripture again because I want you to listen closely as I read it. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Now notice, one of the first principles of falling into rebellion is walking in the flesh. That's walking in your soulless realm, walking in the realm of feelings and what you see, and you have a chance to respond when you're in the flesh differently from when you were walking in the spirit. So the opposite of walking in the flesh is what, Glass? Is walking in the spirit. So Paul said, they that walk in the spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we know this is going to deal with some of the lust of the flesh here. So one of the first commands or ways of not being drawn into rebellious conversation or rebellious atmosphere or rebellious thoughts is to walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit, and you won't permit yourself to be jammed. When I say jammed, I'm talking to be brought into a conversation. If you don't like the enemy, he'll lure you. You know, I went fishing the other day, and I used artificial bait, and that bait, when I cast it out, I make the bait look like a real little minnow, and what it does is lures the fish to it. And they get close enough to it, they'll bite at it. They'll bite at it. Now, you get an old fish been there a long time, and he's kind of stubborn, it takes a lot of different baits you got to throw at him. So as you mature, the enemy is going to throw more different bait. And so sometimes they're not biting, I throw a red bait. And then I throw a blue bait. Then I throw a green bait. And then I find one that they like, and they'll bite on it. So the enemy is no different from he throw a different bait at, trying to lure you into conversation that'll bring you to a place of rebellious thoughts, where you can think and ponder on things. You see, he wants to get you to pondering. Now, what pondering is? Pondering is reasoning. He wants to get you to reason. Once you get into the reason element, and you begin to side with those wrong thoughts, then you're going to begin, you say, you know he's right. You know she's right what she's saying. And so that's the trick of the enemy. But I want to go through it with the scriptures so you can see where we get the platform of this lesson from through the scriptures here. And so the first thing is not to walk in the flesh, in the lust of defilement, and despise dominion. The opposite of despising dominion is respecting dominion, respecting power, respecting authority. See, when people lose respect for authority and they begin to despise authority, then they get loose lips. Loose lips. You know what loose lips is? They say whatever comes on their mind. They don't think for it before they speak. They speak from a reaction in what they see and from the sight. So despise dominion, daring, self-willed. They tremble not to rail at dignity. In other words, not even a second thought. They speak so freely, they don't even have any restraint from their conversation, any restraint from their words. Self-will, they tremble to rail at dignity. Whereas angels, now we're about to get to a little point here. Now, this is another authority. Angels are another authority. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, he's talking about the angels, their position of authority. Great might and power bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. In other words, angels know their place and angels know their position, and they will not allow themselves to get out of their sink or their position with God. Angels fear God. They fear the Lord. And they will not bring any railing accusation before anyone to the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. In other words, he's saying, let God judge this. Oh, you hear what I say? Let God judge this. And that the same thing shall come out of your mouth. When something comes up or there's a position to judge, you know what you should say? What? What you should say, Catherine? I'm looking at your face right here. He said, let God judge this. Are you with me? And so from now on, When you got a dispute, someone bring a matter before you, And it could be an opportunity to walk into a place of rebellion and make comments toward the wrong party. And then you have a position now. You can say, let the Lord judge this. Do like the angels did. Do like the angels do. All right? Let the Lord judge this. All right. So he would not bring an accusation against them, but he let the Lord judge it. Now, but these, as creatures without reason, he just telling us what they're made out of, what kind of person walks in rebellion. They call them creatures without reasoning. Don't you be a creature without reasoning. No, without scriptural reasoning. Remember the Bible said, come let us reason together, say the Lord. It's talking about scriptural reasoning, spiritual reasoning, making spiritual sense out of something. You know, you look at something, you go to the scriptures and make sure it makes spiritual sense before you say something. Don't say anything without making spiritual sense. Born mere animal to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant. Well, another translation says they real talk about things they don't even understand, don't even know. I'm reading out a different translation here. Corrupt, they're corrupt, surely to be destroyed. Now, that's one aspect of it. Now, let's go to another aspect of it and watch these words, what we're talking about. We're talking about rebellion in the form of manifesting in the form of words here. Now, we're going to deal with this. And like I said, it looked like I should have started from the other end, but I'm going down the line with the book because you're going to understand it anyway. Now, let's look at Ephesians 5 and 6. You can either read it out of your book or turn to your Bible. It says, let no man deceive you with what? With vain or empty words. King James called it empty words. With empty words. For because of these things, these what? These empty words that you've been deceived with. Because of these things, cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Oh, you see me? Now, we don't want to walk in those places, Clan. The Bible brings these scriptures to our mind or to light so we don't walk in this way. See, the Bible always warns us of things before it comes. So you'll know how to respond when these things approach you. And that's why it's good that you're setting these classes, class, because you know how to respond pre-adventure. When I say pre-adventure, you got a preview of how to respond when the position comes. Now, sometimes you fail some tests. Prior to this day, you probably failed some tests. I failed a few tests. Yes, I've spoken wrong and without judging the matter. And so it was an opportunity for me to be brought to a rebellious thought. But I tell you what, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost help you in your ignorance. Because when your heart is right before God, he'll help you. He'll help you discern things. Now we got Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let's look at Jude now. Jude verse 8. No, Jude just had one chapter. Verse 8 of Jude to the 10th verse. It says, yet in like manner, these also in their dreaming defile the flesh and set at naught dominion. It's all saying dominion, authority. You see it? Dominion and rail, here's that word again, and rail at dignities. Now, I defined that word earlier, rail. I said railing means to complain violently against. It's not just a normal complaint. It's a violent complaint that come out of your innermost being, that come out of your heart. I mean, you ever heard somebody speak something out of their heart and it just come out? Oh, you say, boy, that came out. Oh, that come out of their heart there. You know when somebody speaks something and it really deep, you come out deep. I'm trying to explain it. Deep on the inside of you. Something you've been incubating a long time. And then, boy, when it come out with a force. Now, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know when you're harboring something in your heart for a long time and finally somebody push the right button and then they just come out with like a gush. And that's a violent attack. You see it? So railing, it's a violent attack. And so And so that's something been harboring, and that's something been hidden, and that's something that need to be dealt with before the time came. Are you with me, Clap? I hope you're following with me, because you don't want to fall in these places. Hope some of y'all haven't fallen in those places, but I'm trying to show you how to get out of these places. Out of these places of being trapped by the enemy to take you to a position you don't want to be in. Rebellion is a state you don't want to be in. Rebellion is a place you don't want to even have to get close to. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. And so, I'm reading Jude again. Yet in like manner, these also in their dreaming defile the flesh and set at naught dominion and rail at dignities, authority. But Michael, the archangel. Now, here, let me stop and put a plug here. Michael, the archangel. See, archangel was another. See, angels operate in ranks. There are ranks of angels. And an archangel was one of the angels that stood before the presence of God day and night. And there were special messengers that God used. When God sent an archangel, it was the urgent message he was trying to get across. Because he's sending one of his top angels. So Michael was one of the archangels that God sent. But watch how he handled his position of authority. You know, the higher you are in authority, the more you understand authority. So therefore, you know how to respond properly when you're challenged with a situation. When you have a place to make a judgment, you make the right judgment when you're challenged in authority. Are you with me, Clem? So that's why God sometimes send his top angel to do certain things. Sometimes your pastor might send the more mature person to handle a situation because he knows they're going to handle it correctly, properly, make proper judgment, and they're not going to speak loosely and say nothing what he did say. Don't say something he didn't tell you to say. Oh, that's further down the lesson. Eve, you see, sometimes you can say something that you weren't supposed to say. If your apostle, your prophet, your pastor, your leader give you an assignment and you're supposed to take that message, what he says, to maybe deal with a situation, say it just like he said it. Because if you don't, then you become self-willed and you've gotten in opposition with him and don't even know it. Say that, and then you put your own feelings, your own emotion, and you put your spirit behind it. Are you with me? Remember I say that, okay, Claire? Because you sooner or later, you're going to have to do what I'm talking about. I just want you to handle it properly. All right, Claire? But Michael, the archangel, a high-ranking angel that stands before the presence of God, that's what an archangel is, when contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. The devil disputed about the body of Moses. You see, God buried Moses, and nobody knows where Moses was buried. So the angel, the devil, disputing about to the archangel about the body of Moses, and the archangel knew, Michael knew, that it was none of this demon's business to deal with God's business where God put his servant. All right? Before the presence of the Lord. And so when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing judgment. You see what I'm saying? He didn't bring a judgment. He said, let God judge this thing. But said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these, you see, he wouldn't handle himself. He said, the Lord rebuked. The Lord going to judge this. The Lord going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. The Lord going to judge you. And sure enough, in time to come, Satan will be judged. He know his time is short now, but he will be judged. You see? And so I can say this to say this, say that to say this, that even people that you approaching and then they try to put you right in the middle of something, and you say, let God be the judge, because they will be judged. Soon or late, those people in rebellion who speak rebellion words, if they don't make correction, will be judged. And I pray that all people that operate in rebellion, I pray that they do make correction, that they do get things straight, that they do get strict. I spoke with a man just yesterday. I was telling him about another man that left the church wrong, and the man never came back, wasn't able to come back and to make things right with the apostle. This something really happened. But another man who I was telling it to, I said it because I knew he had left wrong. And he made the statement. Yeah, he said, I got it right with the apostle. Yeah, he said, I came over and I told him, I said, I left wrong and I asked you to forgive me and I just want to make things right. And so I hope all rebellious people have a chance to make things right, because soon or late, God's going to judge it. You see it? See, sometimes people think they get away because time passed and look like life still goes on, hokey-dory, everything's still splendid. I mean, you still seem to be prospering. I mean, God still seems to have his anointing upon you and everything's going good. But one day, God's going to have to judge you. Just like one day God has set aside to judge Satan. Yeah, yeah, it seems like it's a longer time than we want to, but God have a set time for everything. Are you with me, Clap? Are you with me? All right. And so to finish this scripture, but he said, the Lord rebuked thee, but these rail at whatsoever things they know not, and what they understand naturally, like the creatures without reason, in these things are they destroyed and corrupted. See, Jude is saying the same thing Peter was saying. And they're talking about the same incident, you know, about Satan contending with the devil and the angel. Notice how they both talk about the angel, but it's just a confirmation and another witness talking about spiritual matters and another reason that we should be warned of how to handle situations. Now, one more, Jesus. We're going to look at what Jesus said. Jesus is always the master teacher. You know, and Jesus always deal with things from the root. They're talking about experience, but Jesus talking about the root of the whole matter. Everybody said the root of the whole matter. You see, Jesus dealing with the root of the whole matter. So in Matthew 12:34, we've seen how Jesus got to the root of the whole matter. He dealt with this thing from the inside. You with me? Now, he was talking to these religious folks. He said, you offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, one translation, I think it's the Amplified Bible, said, out of the overflow of the heart. That's what I was talking about. Sometimes people harness things in their heart and it stockpile. It stockpile itself in your heart. And then sometimes when it come out with a reviling force. And that's when it reels down your heart. That's when it incubates long enough to become explosive. And then you say explosive words and explosive wrong word. It's all right to say explosive good word when you get a revelation. But when you got the wrong revelation of evil, and then you become explosive, and then God got to deal with it. It become an outlet. See, that become an outlet. But out of the bones of the heart, the what speaking? The mouth speaking. Where it comes from? It comes out of your heart. And then it's spoken. Now that's what I was talking about. It began with a thought. And Satan called that thought to be incubated. And that incubated thought turned into reason. Now, this is why I don't agree with them. Because you have summed it all up in your mind. You add all it up. 2 and 2 is 4, 4 and 4 is 8. And you got all the geometry right in your mind. You mix all the right chemicals. Doing the chemistry solution, and then you come up with a solution. You say, I know I was right about the situation. They should have never said or done this. And then it comes out with a harvest, and that harvest become a reviling, and a reviling become a reviling of rebellion. I'm sure how this thing built. And once it builds itself like that, you've gotten to the point where you're convinced and cannot be unconvinced that you're right, and you're willing to put your life stake on the line. Oh, don't ever let nobody put nothing in your heart deep enough where you can't repent and get it right. All right? Now, words are the outlets of the heart. I hope I took enough time, and I hope I didn't take too much time with these scriptures, but you can't ever take too much time expounding the scripture. Now, I'm down to the nose part. I call this number one here. A man who is rebellious in heart will soon utter rebellious word, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now you understand a little bit better of what I'm saying. A man who is rebellious don't just become, you don't just wake up one morning and you're rebellious. A child just don't born out of the mother's womb and then become rebellious. No, some things got inputted into the computer of their soul. Yeah, and cause them to become rebellious. You don't just be a rebellious person. No, something got to be inputted before it can be outputted. Are you with me? Now, to know, number two, to know or recognize authority, one must first meet authority. Otherwise, he will never obey. And I had the question when I was studying. I had a question that I think some of you might have a question. And the question that I came up with is, how can one meet authority? Somebody might say, how do I do that? How do I meet authority that I might know authority? Well, I came up with this solution here, this answer to myself when I was talking and I was studying. I said, well, one way to meet authority is most of the time you don't meet authority doing good, doing right. Most of the time authority is met when you're doing something wrong and you have to be corrected. I remember growing up as a little boy and I didn't always follow the rules. None of you did either. Didn't follow the rules properly like you should have. And rules, what I said rules was, rules are designed to reveal rebellion, to see what's in your heart, to see can you follow the rules. And so I go along and it begins with self-will. When I get to the point where I want to do what I want to do as a child, and then it goes against the rule system that my parents had established, and then correction comes, and then when correction comes, I meet authority. All before, I was loving, I sit on their lap, I want to hug and kiss them, and I see a young boy. And dad, I love you. You're the best friend I ever had. Oh, but when it's time for him to correct me, he turned to another man. My mother turned into another woman. That loving woman I sat on the lap and she rubbed my head didn't seem so loving afterward. Because then I met authority. I met the other side of love. But I didn't know it was love. Yeah, you can meet the other side of love and don't know it's love. So correction is a love factor with God. The Bible says God correct those in whom he loves. I hope you get the point, class. So it's a love factor, but I met authority at a young age. And see, oh my goodness. And this way a lot of children, they make missteps because they never learn authority at a young age because those parents don't correct them like they should. And so they say they love them, but you don't love nobody too much not to correct them. That's the one you really correct, the one you really love. So now you never have that awesome experience of learning authority. And so I met authority when my mom got upset. My mom got upset when I didn't do what she said to do. My dad got upset when I didn't come home when he told me to come home. Yep. And I broke the rule. And I was punished for breaking the rule. So that's how you meet authority. Now, it's the same way in the world system, on the job, in the church. You see, you don't meet authority when everything you're doing, everything right. Oh, he's a good little person. He's a good little Christian. He don't do nothing wrong. But let him mess up. Let her mess up. And once you mess up, then you got to face the consequences, and then you meet authority. And you can handle authority two ways. You can try to justify your action or just take the whip and say I was wrong. And it's hard sometimes to say you're wrong, class. Just die. That's where dying come in. You got to die to some things. You got to die to yourself. I hope I'm making sense, but that's how you meet authority. And I thought I'd bring that point out because it helped me to help you to see what it means to meet authority. So Paul met authority on the Damascus Road. You see it? You see, he messed up. How he messed up? He was killing God's children. He was chastising and causing them to suffer, beating them and putting them in prison. them that name the name of the Lord Jesus. And God said, no, we can't let him do that. No, 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 no. He crossed the line. He broke the rule. And God stopped him. But Apostle Paul handled the situation right. On that road, he not only learned authority, but he got born again. He got, what I said, he got born again on that road. So I thought I'd just make that statement while I was along this line about having to meet authority. You got to first meet authority, otherwise you'll never obey. You'll never know how to obey. You'll never know the correct way to do things. You'll never know the proper way to do. I hope you're learning something, Clan. You never know the proper way to respond to things. And so once you learn authority, then you become a little cautious about what you say. Then when I used to be outside playing, as soon as it gets dark, I tell my brother, "You're getting dark." I know what happened last time we came home in the dark. You say, "Come home before it gets dark." And so I washed myself a little bit better. I don't want to transgress my parents' command because I know what happened. I got challenged and I got corrected and I got my butt whipped. You see it? I hope you're understanding. This is a small example of it. But if you don't correct things that are small, you're going to try to correct things that are great. If you don't correct a child when it's small, not obeying the curfew, then you got to try to get them out of prison somewhere. Are you listening, Clad? Correct them now, then you won't have to correct them later. You see it? And sometimes people ask me, and I hear Apostle talk about his family. He got one of the most well-balanced family I ever seen in my whole life. He's supposed to get, one day they're going to have a book on the family, and I hope they do it to help the body of Christ. You know, but people would ask me on another level. They say, "Man, you got good children. What do you do?" And I used to always say, I don't know what I did. But now I know, teaching this class. I corrected them when they were wrong. I corrected them when they were little bitty things. Remember I told you the story? My son was walking on the table. I corrected when he was a little bitty thing. And then after he got older, he understood the fear of authority. All my children, they grew up to understand the fear of authority. Now that's what I did. You see it? And that's the key to it. I understand now. And now I can answer the question, what do you do? You got good children. I can go back to when they was 7 months old. And you look like you're really hurting your children, 7 months old, slapping their little hands, don't do that no more. No, you correct them and show them authority. They meet an authority at 7 months instead of 27. You see it? 18. I'm trying to find some of your children age. 16. 12. You see it? That's when you correct them. You don't wait till they become 16, 18, 25. I'm still going on 30. Because you still got 30 years old in the parent's home. And there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it, but some of them in it because they don't want to do any better, and some of them are in your home because they want to do better. That's the difference. You see it. Some of them just in it being a vagabond. What do you mean a vagabond? Just too lazy to go out and work, but some are in your home because they're trying to better themselves. They're trying not to be same old. They're trying to be something, and need that little. They need that little support from you. All right. I say that long enough. Now, number three, the mere hearing of the message of obedience is totally ineffective. What do they mean? Just trying to. I see people sometimes they're trying to make this child. You just don't listen. You just don't listen. They're trying to preach obedience to them. You need to listen when I talk to you. Oh, Jesus, that's not the proper way to teach authority. You don't just scream and holler, and you find that more than it. Apparently, this screaming and hollering never did what it's supposed to do at the smaller stage. You know, I'm back. My children wasn't perfect. No, my children wasn't, but I correct them at home. And we would go into the store, to the shopping store, and big store with toys everywhere. And my children would just walk with us, and wouldn't even go grab the toys. And people say, well, Why don't you, you're not grabbing toys? I said, because you know what happened if they grab toys? Then broke a rule. No grabbing toys. And then they're in the store trying to wring the children's neck and embarrassing themselves in front of others because they can't control their children in the store. You've seen that. If nobody ever seen that, you're lying. You've seen people, if you live in any time, you've seen people trying to correct the children in the stores and the little child just running loose, almost like need a leash on them. No, my children just walk. I'm talking about 3, 4, 5. They just walk right to us with the basket. We were at shopping at the family and just walk along with us. Daddy, can I go look at that? Yes, you can. They will get permission. You see it? Because they knew with the rules. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm not just trying to talk. I'm trying to show you how to do it at home so you're going to be getting them out of prison when they're 25. I hope you're listening to me. See, this extends in the family, in the home, in the world system, work, at school, in the church. You see, this authority, it's a lesson that must be learned throughout eternity. Especially young mothers and young fathers rearing up children. And the world system has its own rules of how to rear children. They got these people write these books philosophizing how to do the children, how to get into the child's mind. No, you need to get into his behind, not his mind when he's young. I didn't make it more to rhyme, but it did. You need to know that he got to be corrected. All right? But it came out good anyway, didn't it, Claire? Amen. Afterwards, whenever he says a rebellious word, now, this is when you learn. Afterwards, everybody say afterwards. After what? After you learn authority. Whenever he says a rebellious word, even before he utters it, he will become conscious of his trespass and thus be inwardly restrained. That's what I've been trying to get to. That's what I'm trying to get to. What am I trying to get to? When you arrest your thoughts before they go into reasoning, before you utter a word, you're on the inside. See, the Holy Ghost help you. He restrains you on the inside. Say, no, I don't think you ought to say that. No, I think you ought to hold that because it's not going to come out just right. They won't understand it like you're saying it. Just hold that thought. See, the Holy Ghost will help you to restrain your thoughts, help you to restrain your words. You see what I'm saying? So that's the point we want to get to. Now, number 5, I'm almost done. If one can freely speak rebellious words without any inward sense of restraint, in certainty or certainly he had never met authority. And that's a position that most of the church, most of the world system is in. They have no sense of restraint. They can speak freely rebellious words. They never learn authority, and that's where they are now. Never learn authority. I got time for one more, Clem. It is much easier to utter rebellious words than to perform rebellious acts. Now that statement needs to go into a little further explanation, but the act. Let me make this statement. I'm going to explain that statement. I got 1 minute left. It says, it is much easier, listen to the statement, it's much easier to utter rebellious words than to perform rebellious acts. Now, listen to this statement here. The acts is not in your book, though. The acts is the consummation or achievement of when rebellion has reached its goal. Now, you just listen to this over and over again. The full manifestation when it has gone too far to be reversed, God has to deal with it because you have stepped beyond grace. So the answer to this statement, it's easier to utter rebellious words than to perform rebellious acts because when you perform rebellious acts, you've gone beyond grace. And now God got to judge this thing and God has given you the grace to repent, but you never repented. Now God said, I got to deal with it. So catch you in the rebellious word before it comes to rebellious act. So class, that's all we can go today. We're going to take up from here next week when I see you then. All right. Well, I ain't got through four, Darius.